The nationwide Rogers outage that began on Friday cost more than just connectivity. Lives were placed in jeopardy.
I had an older aunt end up dying on Friday as a result of a brain aneurysm that happened in public. My father was with her, and they weren't able to call for help. They had just left a bank, and the bank, they didn't have telephone service. People on the street, no one on the street had available cell service. So my father was running around trying to find someone to call 911.
That's Shane Eby from Hamilton, Ontario. Emergency services were eventually reached, but his aunt did pass away. The outage has put a spotlight on the role telecommunications giants play in our day-to-day lives, and it has some wondering if this could be a wake-up call for regulators in Ottawa. Now, we're going to speak to the minister in charge in a moment, but first, to help us get the lay of the land to understand what Canada needs to do, we've reached Michael Geist. He is a law professor at the University of Ottawa, where he holds the Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-commerce Law. And Richard LeBlanc is a professor of governance, law, and ethics at York University in Toronto. Good morning to you both.
Hi, Catherine.
Michael, I'm going to start with you. I mean, we heard that story there from Shane. I also spoke with a doctor whose hospital couldn't access some health records or reach staff during the outage. What should this teach us about the importance that we need to put on protecting these networks?
Well, I think there's lessons for everyone. I mean, there's lessons, obviously, for the users, their payment systems, emergency services, that putting yourself with a single provider carries with it some significant risk. And of course, the same is true for individuals. If we have our broadband services and our wireless services all with a single carrier, that comes with risk. But I think the lesson as well is that this issue, this area has been neglected for too long by both the government and the CRTC that haven't shown a real willingness to take on these companies. And it's left a marketplace that isn't as competitive as many other markets. So consumers pay high prices, that's heavily dependent on individual carriers, with leadership, for example, even at the CRTC, where we really worry about an emphasis, let's say, on cultural issues, when job one has to be ensuring that we have reliable, affordable, resilient networks.
Richard, Michael talks about neglect, the idea that 12 million people, and that is the latest number, could be without service suddenly because of what was ultimately described by Rogers as a maintenance update. I mean, should we be surprised by that? You know this area. You follow it more closely than the average Canadian. This came as a shock to a lot of people. Was it a shock to you?
It wasn't. We've had two strikes now by Rogers, and I thought it might have been a Russian threat actors and a cybersecurity risk demanding Bitcoin payment, which I've been through. And I think what the threat actors have known now is that you can attack a telecom company. So I think it is time for bold Canadian federal leadership. I think Mr. Trudeau should speak to this issue. He has yet to do so. There was a closed door meeting yesterday between the minister and the telco companies, and there was a three-point plan that the minister requested within 60 days. I don't think that's adequate. This three-point plan presupposes another outage. I think there needs to be a public inquiry as to the root cause of the outage, where the telco executives are asked questions by elected politicians. Mm-hmm. And I think, lastly, there needs to be a rethinking of a public mandate. We have crown corporations, hundreds of federal and provincial crown corporations. And when you look at the 911 issues and the cost of a landline, I think there should be a public presence in the telecom market, and that may be a separate federal crown corporation. But I think it's about time. I think what this has showed us is that we really don't want to wait for a third occurrence. And I think a third occurrence will occur without robust regulation. And my sense of the CRTC and Industry Canada is that the regulation is not robust. It's certainly not as robust as it is for financial services. So,
Richard,
I think there's an opportunity here.
Yeah, you said a lot of important things there that I want to unpack, but I just want you to clarify one thing you said at the beginning about the prospect of a cyber attack. Do you think the fact that this happened, it's made international news, does that make Canada more vulnerable to?
Yes. Okay. I think Russian threat actors, and these are paid by the Putin government, and we're now supplying Ukraine in the war with Russia, their playbook is constantly updated. Mm-hmm. And I think that their playbook has included further attacks on the three telecoms as a result of what happened over the weekend. I think the learning opportunity for the threat actors was exactly what happened over the weekend.
Yeah. So the hope, I guess, is that Canada is doing some learning at the same time and upping our game. Michael, I'll bring you back in here because I really want to dig down into what happened at this meeting or what we know about what happened with this meeting with Industry Minister François-Philippe Champagne, who is going to be on the program in a moment, and these telecom companies. He came out of the meeting, the minister did, and said, listen, I've given the companies 60 days to come up with a plan to deal with things like emergency roaming, mutual assistance during outages, and a better protocol to inform the public when this happens. How far would something like that go towards addressing the issues that were raised here, Michael?
Well, I think it's a good start, but it's really just a start. And so it might have meant that some of the people who were affected directly last week would have been able to get service at some point in time. And hopefully it would have meant that we'd have far better communications from the company, which was sorely lacking. There was so much uncertainty about what was happening, how long it would take. And so they need to do better there. But it's just a first step. I think we do need investigations that include the CRTC, which is likely to be announced today. But I think Parliament with the House of Commons Committee needs to get involved as well, looking at a broader range of issues, including the payment systems and including the consumer dimension. One of the other problems we have here is that from a consumer compensation perspective, Rogers is talking about what I suspect is just a relatively nominal amount to say, well, listen, you are out for a day, so we'll pay you the cost of a day. When your flight is delayed by 4 hours or more, you're entitled to hundreds of dollars.
I believe it's supposed to be 2 days. I think somebody estimated it's going to be about $5.50.
Well, I mean, and that's just chump change to pay, compared to the real cost that took place. And so, you know, I don't think the airline sector is anybody's idea right now of a model, but the approach that we have from a regulatory perspective in terms of paying real compensation that accounts for the harm and inconvenience is an approach that we have. And we need transparency associated with those outages so that we can better understand when they take place. So there's a lot that can take place in the short term. And in the longer term, we need to be addressing the competition concerns. We need to be, again, rethinking this Rogers-Shaw merger, frankly. A country serious about competition wouldn't be entertaining this possibility. And when there's a new chair of the CRTC announced in a couple of months, the real signal from the government as to whether they take this seriously or not is whether or not it's someone who's coming from a telecom background that's prepared to roll up their sleeves and address these issues.
Richard, I want to ask you, we're going to dig down into competition in just a sec, but I just have one more question about this plan that the minister is putting forward. The idea that other companies, other big telcos would sort of swoop in and come to the aid of one company if something like this were to happen again. Do you have any sense of how feasible that is? Like we were talking about 12 million people on Friday, and I wonder, given that there's such concentration, could other big telecoms suddenly... just would that work? Millions of people suddenly jumping on to other networks to try to fix this?
Not without great difficulty. Mm. I think the barriers to entry with bundled services are very significant for the average Canadian customer, and that's because the three telcos have structured it that way. Mm-hmm. So I think you do need, if you're going to have a resilient, redundant plan to go from Rogers to Bell. I mean, just this morning I purchased an item on Amazon for $850. So if something goes wrong with Rogers, I can fall back to Bell. I mean, that's
$850.
I know that, and that's sort of self-help. But what we need is something that is seamless. And what we've seen from the 911 is that it's not seamless. And it even guarantees by the telcos that 911 will work in an emergency doesn't work. So I view with great skepticism this three-point plan by the minister that it will be seamless for the average Canadian. And it also presupposes you're going to have future outages. I think the issue here for the minister is to identify the root cause. And my experience with root causes is it's almost always a lack of internal controls, design or implementation. So I think maintenance updates should not result in paralysis to 12 million Canadians. So I think the minister needs, as Michael has said, to roll up his shirt sleeves and demonstrate bold leadership once and for all in this sector. There's a certain passivity by Canadian regulators and politicians, and I don't get it. I don't get why this sector has such passive regulation compared to other sectors, including financial services in Canada.
Michael, I should say the minister is listening into all of this, and we're going to get his take on it in a minute. But you talked about the importance of concentration, that being part of the problem here. How would you assess how this government has dealt with that issue up to this point? Because I know the minister has been saying publicly it's a priority. We know it's, in fact, in his mandate letter to try to address some of the structural issues around concentration. How are they doing? How effectively can they claim to be dealing with this issue?
Candidly, it's been really discouraging. There have been a number of opportunities to inject new kinds of competition, service-based competition, MVNOs, mobile virtual network operators that might sit alongside from a service perspective, some of the facilities-based providers like a Rogers or a Bell. We've seen the CRTC hesitant to move in that direction, and there's a perception the CRTC chair has been very cozy with some of the big providers. And we haven't seen the government willing to step in and take a stand on some of those issues. And so I don't think we've seen it as a priority. The position that Canada has relative to other countries remains roughly the same as one of the most expensive markets. And so I think, as is rightly noted, the self-help that most consumers engage in is the same kind of thing, mistakenly, that the payment system did, which is to put all your eggs in a single, say, Rogers basket. And, you know, that might help with the cost a little bit because there's the perception of some discounts if you buy enough services or you get enough family members involved. But as we learned last week, it comes at a significant cost. Mm-hmm. And Canadians shouldn't have to choose. We should have a market that is sufficiently competitive in the same comparison to other countries, such that you have more choice and you can make some of those choices and do so in an affordable manner. And I don't think we're there yet. And I think that we haven't seen the government take this as seriously as it needs to. And we certainly haven't seen the CRTC take a position where it puts consumers at the center of the communication system. Instead, it seems to be all about the big three.
Richard, what would you ask the minister?
To have transparent hearings and go to the root cause of what happened and providing assurance to Canadians that it will not happen again. That's the issue.
Okay. Well, we're going to put all that to the minister in a moment. I thank you both for your time.
My pleasure. Michael
Geist is a law professor at the University of Ottawa, where he holds the Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-commerce Law. And Richard LeBlanc is a professor of governance, law, and ethics at York University. François-Philippe Champagne is Canada's Minister of Innovation, Science, and Industry. And as we said, he's been listening to all of this. Good morning, Minister. How are you?
Good morning. What a pleasure to be with you this morning and listening. A lot of interesting talks.
Yes. Let's hear it.
Happy to comment. It's always nice to hear before going in an interview. So thanks for having me this morning and joining and following the meeting that lasted more than an hour yesterday. So hopefully I can provide Canadians a bit more color on that.
Sure. So, well, listen, there were quite a few criticisms thrown your way, and I'm sure you want to address all of them. So let's start with this idea that the getting to the root cause of it needs to be done more transparently. You were out yesterday saying that there's going to be a CRTC inquiry. In fact, the CRTC was quite reticent to confirm that. But the idea that this needs to be done publicly, are you on side with that?
Well, listen, first of all, I agree with Richard that we need an inquiry, an investigation, I would call it, by the CRTC, because you need to go to the root cause. So I fully agree with that, because it's a bit like in an air disaster type of investigation. You need to understand really what happened.
When you
in
say
order for,
inquiry, Minister, just so I understand, you are saying that you expect the CRTC to hold a public inquiry.
Well, I'm not saying that. They will do their investigation. So the CRTC has a mechanism to investigate these things. That's what I'm saying, and they will do that. Well, I mean, there could be a committee hearing of parliament. But you know, what you're talking about now is experts digging into the core of the system, even with the vendors, because what happened over the last few days involve international experts. So people understand the scope of what we were, you know, Rogers was dealing with was in the core of the system. So it included vendors, their experts from around the world. But let me just put, if I can step back for a second. So the meeting first, I expressed the frustration of more than 12 million Canadians who were subject to an unacceptable outage. I also expressed the frustrations of hundreds of thousands of small and medium-sized businesses, which could not affect, electronic payments. And I expressed the frustration of emergency provider because we know that 911 was not functional in a number of cities in Canada. So I said, this is unacceptable, full stop. Now, once you do that, you say, what can we do? And that's where I hear the criticism, but to say Canada's not proactive, I would say, listen, we're implementing the three steps that I've said.
But it's post facto, sir. Like, I take your point, but you can't possibly call it proactive if it's happening after the outage.
Let me just say why I'm saying it's proactive is that the United States Federal Communication Commission published something similar on the 6th of July. So to say proactive, I mean, what we said yesterday is that first, there needs to be mutual assistance and that there needs to be a very specific protocol. There needs to be emergency rooming. The U.S. did that just a few days ago. And in addition to that, we went further and say we need to have a protocol on communication with the public and the authorities because communication was wanting. The first thing to step back, Catherine, I said, what happened is completely unacceptable.
Yes.
And I hold Rogers to account on that. That's why we said as part of the immediate steps,
yes,
that's what we're going to do. But we need to do
much more. Here's what I want to understand about this 60 days. You say they have to have an agreement in 60 days. You heard our experts saying, the experts that we spoke to, saying this is going to happen again. It's very likely this could happen again. So in 60 days, do they just need to have something written down on a piece of paper? Or are you saying that within 60 days, you expect these steps to be in place? Like, help us understand concretely what's going to happen here.
So they will have an agreement. For example, when you say, and let's be clear, Catherine, you know, you can deal with every possibilities in the sense, it's a bit like with COVID-19. We were hit with COVID-19. What's going to be the type of the next pandemic and when? No one can really predict. But what we can choose is to better prepared. And that's really, you know, I was the minister at the time. This is kind of the same framework that I'm saying. We wanted to have the families of vaccines in Canada. That's why we brought them back. Same thing there. We say, listen, as an initial step, you know, 72 hours after the interruption, we say, listen, we want you to take these three steps, which are very specific, and an agreement within 60 days. And like I said, this is similar to what the U.S. did just a few days ago, but we're going much beyond.
But will the change be in place in 60 days, sir?
Well, I would say the agreement will be there, and that's why they have to have the system in place. Because let's be, if we talk for people listening, so mutual assistance. When I called the CEO of Rogers when I was in Tokyo when this happened on Friday and Thursday, depending on the time zone, the first thing that I said is that, obviously, what's going on? How can we help? The other thing I called the CEO of TELUS and Bell, and everyone was willing to help, both with technicians and potentially with additional capacity. That needs to be codified. So, yes, there's informal assistance, but that's not good enough. I said, you need to do better. You need to codify. Mm-hmm. Emergency rooming would allow the systems, when it can, to switch from one to the other so that if people were with Rogers and they could go to Bell, that would do that. And the protocol around communication, let's be honest, Catherine, it should have been much better. And I said that to the CEO.
I think that's widely agreed, Minister. Let's talk about concentration because we only have 2 minutes left with you there. You heard, I believe it was Michael Geist said that a country who takes these concentration issues seriously would not be entertaining the prospect of a Rogers-Shaw merger. I know you have said you're not going to allow the wholesale transfer of all of these licenses, but can you allow any further concentration in the market in light of what we've seen? Like, how can you be saying yes to this deal, even if it's pieces?
I'm not saying yes, you know.
But I'm asking, how could you?
Because when it's going to be, I'm the regulator, so when they file, we will take a decision, but they need to file first. But what I'm saying is that, listen, I have been pretty clear, and I hope it was well understood, that I will not allow the wholesale transfer of licenses from Shaw to Rogers. And I also said to them that obviously what happened yesterday is in everyone's mind. We need more competition. We need more affordability. I said that to them yesterday, but you would appreciate what happened.
So how are we going to get there,
sir? The focus was resiliency.
Yes,
I do appreciate that. Well, we need to foster competition. The guidelines that I've issued recently go in that. It revoked the previous policy where it was not clear. I made very clear to the CRTC and everyone involved in the sector that affordability and competition are the two cornerstones of what they need to consider when they take a decision. That's a new policy that I issued a few weeks ago. That's going to go in the direction of helping consumers. Yesterday, what I was voicing is the frustration of millions of Canadians. And I can tell you, all of these CEOs were very much in listening mode. This was no time to challenge me on what we wanted to implement. And they said, yes, Minister, we will do so, and more to come.
Can you commit then to saying that we need more than three major telecom carriers? Well, not just saying it, I guess, Minister, because that's the thing. I appreciate that you're saying this, but 7 years into your government, we still have this level of concentration.
Well, I'd like more people to come in the sector. Clearly, as the government, you regulate. But, you know, if you ask me, would I welcome and would I like to see more people in the telecom sector in Canada? Sure. And I'm happy to see who can come in the sector and increase competition. That's what Canadians want. And affordability is top of mind. That's usually what I talk to when I talk to CEOs of the telcos. But you would appreciate that yesterday we had to deal with an immediate situation, take immediate initial step. I think Michael said it well. Those are just initial steps. The logical thing to do now is to do a full investigation, okay, come with recommendation, and make sure that we do more to have resiliency and more choice for Canadians, okay, in Minister, our telecom market.
We are out of time, Minister. We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
Nice
Thanks
talking
for having
to you, Minister.
Me this morning. Always
care.
A pleasure.
François-Philippe Champagne is Canada's Minister of Industry.